like every one of them. Also, greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the one who had power over death and hell, and through that we can have power over sin and death. I'm good to have a church house well filled with helping of the scenes and gifts from you today. Welcome each one of the visitors here this morning. We worship the heart together and bless and give. See so many people that are taking the time to worship. We're all back. The two was impressed with the songs that we sang in the restroom. Question that Wilson learned to ask. What kind of activity are you singing? The question that Sunday school under the rest is what ways to give Jesus glory to part of our lives? This morning, the message that I'd like to share, feel about is weighing my heart, is about something that is the fruit of our lives as well. In relation to the subject of Christian speech, we're going to talk a little bit about the words that come from our mouths, how we can affect them. The lives of people around us, there's all around us. There can be good and bad. I've thought about that some more in the message. We can start out in Psalm chapter 19. It's like the term here, officially. Jumping around a bit in the message, I didn't pick out this one passage to focus on. There's so many different good chapters about speech, about words that we speak. We're going to be jumping around a little bit more than the Old Testament, and we'll look at some of Jesus' teaching on speech, and then also some good teaching of the Testament. Psalm 19, I'm just going to read this psalm, the whole chapter, written by David. Very inspirational. Says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. It's going to pull there for a bit. This is talking about God's glory being revealed in creation. Talks about the heavens, thinking of the stars. Had some very clear, cool evenings, beautiful display of stars recently. And I had to think of sunsets with clouds that are highlighted and outlined in silver and gold from the sunlight. The whole sky, the blue sky, when it's clear out. And even the awesome power of the sky and thunder, lightning, thunder, and the clouds rolling, display the glory of God. And it talks about the sun. Yesterday morning I was up studying for the message a little bit and set up right above the shop there over the wall, and you can really see how they feel about it. There was this blanket of fog slowly rising up from the earth. And above that was the orange and yellow hues coming across the sky. And then after a bit, this little speck of a yellow ball Golden balls starting to peep above the horizon. You watch it moving, slowly rising above the fog and burning free to fall. The sun rising over the horizon. It was just a display of the glory and majesty of God. I had the opportunity to see the hummingbirds this weekend as well, and think of the agility that they can fly through the air. Did a little research, and according to what their scientists have studied, their wing beats can be up to 70 times per second. I think that's 4,000 times per second. They can fly at the speeds of up to 55 miles per hour and then turn on a dime and suddenly hover in the air. Some of these big drones that they're out are pretty amazing, but that would be giving theirs to the agility of money. To look around and see the flowers blooming, intricate design. And you look into a flower and study it, of course. Unbelievable. The lightning bugs flitting across darkness at night. The mountains, majesty of the mountains and the oceans, the seas. We could look at Exodus 14, and it talks about how God has power over the sea. Children of Israel were finally escaped out of Egypt, and they came. There was a sea in front of them and a mountain on either side, I believe, and the Egyptian army behind. They had no room. We see how God parted the sea and crossed it over right there. God's power over the sea. You could also, let me turn that briefly. Keep your finger in Psalm 18. We'll just turn briefly to Psalms or Exodus chapter 9. We talk about God's power revealed in the mountain. Says that in Exodus 19, verse 1, the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, this was 3 months into their journey through the wilderness, and they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they came up to this mountain, Mount Sinai, and God called Moses to come up into the mountain, verse 3. And the rest of the children of Israel were supposed to stay down below. No one else was supposed to touch the mountain. And they all stood at the base of the mountain there. The people were all on the floor. They said in verse 8, what the Lord has spoken, we will do. And the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. People may hear when I speak with thee. Leave me forever. And then told the words of the Lord to the words of the people unto the Lord. Skipping through here, and we can go for look at verse 18. And Mount Sinai was all together on smoke, and because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. I believe it says at some point there was lightnings and thunderings and the clouds of smoke and the mountain shaking. And the people were afraid and they stepped back. And it's then that God gave the Ten Commandments. That was the law of the people. God's power revealed on mountains. So what should be our response to this great power of government? Verses 12 or 7 to 11 talks about in this chapter about God's revelation in the law. We'll read these verses. The law of the Lord is perfect. Back to Psalm 19. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to me desire are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Moreover, by them is servant wine, and making of them to his great, with great reward. God's establishment of the law is perfect. And then in verse 12 and 14 is the response of a person who has faith in his almighty and power of God. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret thoughts. Keep back thy servant also, his anxious states. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Title of the message this morning is from this verse. Let the words of my mouth be accepted. As we consider greatness and powerfulness of our great God, makes us feel weak, undone. And we simply ask God, Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be accepted. So we'll talk a little bit about what accepted the word to our soul. We think of the word of our mouth. We turn to Hosea chapter 14, verses 1-4. God was pronouncing judgment on Israel and his people because of the sin which they had fallen into. Sin of idolatry, the sin of forgetting God and unbelief. And then in chapter 14, God is pleading with his people. Or Hosea is pleading with them on the reading. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the chaos of our lips. Asher will not save us. We will not ride upon horse, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the Father of and God is responding, I will heal their backside. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from me. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. As we consider God's grace and holiness, as we consider our weakness and our unworthiness, when we speak words of penitence, asking God for forgiveness, and humbly asking Him to receive us again, He promises and fulfills the love of you. We don't need to do it. God promises. He said, I will be as dew unto the children of Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as blood meal. Acceptable words to the Lord are words, this is the first one to let me. Words of repentance from the heart. are acceptable. Words of repentance from my heart are acceptable. As we look at God's grace, realize our own sinfulness. All we can do is reach out to repent by asking God to accept his baptism. Let us use the words of our mouth. Take the few words and turn to the Lord. I'd like to turn to Titus chapter 2 next. I'm going to look at some teachings that perfectly speak. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're just going to pick out a few things to talk about today. The law of resurrection is pretty living in the chapters. Paul is talking to Titus, and he's saying in verse 1, he starts it out, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Yeah. Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. That means the words of our mouth should be grounded in the truth of God's word. The words of our mouth should line up with the truths of God's word. Speak thou the thing that becomes sound doctrine. And it's so easy to get caught up with some false doctrines that are floating around the world today. Be careful of good things when you speak. It lines up with the truths of God's word. I'm also reminded in this how the world is looking. The world is watching us. What are we speaking to? And in verse 8, it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. But he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. Like to highlight that first phrase, sound speech that cannot be condemned. When we say one thing one time and another thing another time, that's not sound speech. That's speech that people can find fault. But when we say words and our speech lines up with the truths of God's word, we will be consistent. Our speech will be awful. And that speech that cannot be dead. And then jumping ahead, I'm just going to jump in at verse 11 and read 11 and 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, to redeem all, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man respond to him. Again, talking about speaking words about denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, about living soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, speaking things that are looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. But I'd like to highlight that last phrase, let no man be spied. These things speak, meaning let no man be spied. It's telling us to speak and absorb and review with all authority. So how do we speak these things to someone in the world who is bitter? Someone who is told bitter. Maybe they had an abusive childhood. Maybe they had came from a broken home, experienced the pain of broken relationships and marriage. And they're just bitter at God. We try to tell them about the love of God. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Or maybe you point out something in a person's life that is not right. They're probably not going to be happy. Because of the convictions that might bring you to trust. So how do you speak these things and yet let no man despise? I don't feel like I have any speech. Just ones that I found. It's important to remember in these things. We're calling this speech the truth. I think the way we speak to someone can make all the difference in the world. We're not speaking to them out of heart of condemnation, but a desire to help. Yes, we might not approve a person's lifestyle. And yes, God might promise to talk to them. But the way we do it can make all the difference in the world, whether they're going to be helped by it or despised. In the end, every person will have to make what we do, the convictions that God made in our hands, through the words that He's speaking. So I think it's important for us to consider how we speak to people. Let nobody in this body think that. Speak those things in the word of love. Second point in this acceptable word, speak to God. And like the pull out of all snow, acceptable words are grounded in God's truth and are spoken with the heart's desire to help the hearer to find the right relationship. Is that our heart's desire? Is it trust the rules? Words that are spoken out of a desire to help someone to find a right relationship. That no man was dying. Yes, he died. Turn back to my interview. We're just going to look at a few. There's many passages we could look at. We're just going to look at a few of Jesus' teachings about Christian speech. Even teaching about accepting his goodness.
All right.
Matthew chapter 12. And setting here in these verses 35 to 37 is going to be scrolled so that. But just to get us a little bit of the context for the setting here, I think we'll jump in at verse 0.2, and you put this at 7.
Yeah.
No, just to verse 37. 30, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one, this is to Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow did not cast out devils, but by the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they were saying that Jesus is using the power of Satan to cast out devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first find the present man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart will not speak. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. Here the Pharisee challenging Jesus' ability to be found. They were the religious leaders of those of their day. They knew how to get up and say all the right words, but in their hearts, they were full of evil, and they would not accept Jesus as the Son of God. And Jesus is challenging them himself today. What is in your hearts will come out. The main point that I'd like to bring out of this is every idle word, men shall give account in the day of judgment. That's a challenging thought to me. My own word. Every one of us is accountable to God for every idle word that he's saying. Look up that word idle in the Strong's Concordance. The Greek word for that word idle is argos, and it means useless or barren. If our words are not upbuilding, they shouldn't be. There's only a letter. No. If our words are not upbuilding, they should only be subverting. Every idle word, every word that's useless, that's barren, is not accepted in our help. Give me some great words. Every other word that he's saying. The next passage I'd like to look at is Jesus' teaching about the 70 words is found in chapter 6. We'll start at verse 39. This runs similar to the other account. It's a little different context, but we read starting at verse 39. All the way to verse 45. And he spake a parable unto them, speaking and seeing. There is a disciple. And can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the pain that is in thy neighbor? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, but thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is in time his own fruit. For of thorns, man do not gather figs, nor of a branch of which gather they the wild out of the grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Again, of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Our mouth speaks what is in our hearts. Our mouth and our heart are connected. That's why I'm intrigued by David's verse there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted. The two are connected. Fourth point I'd like to pull out of this passage is acceptable words are words that are spoken from a heart that has Jesus on the mind. Acceptable words to God are spoken from a heart that has Jesus in it, that indeed is on the mind. We have selfishness in our heart. We may be able to cover bitterness, selfishness, and pride in our hearts. We're trying to, in the end, what is in our heart, will not be without. Heart in your mouth, okay. We can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. There's so many chapters that talk about the words that you speak. We're just going to skim through this a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4 starts out with Paul exhorting the Ephesian church to, he said, I beseech you, I plead with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walking worthy of our Christian profession. We profess to be Christians, followers of Christ. Walk worthy of that calling. And in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The way we relate to our brothers and sisters, church. We have to be guided by this wisdom. And in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to highlight these first three. Walk worthy of the vocation, with your soul. Walk with all lowliness, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another's flesh, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I want to highlight those principles of Christian living and then and apply that to the words of the speed. In verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love with lowliness, with meekness, with long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And then verse 22, talks about putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, according to the saints of lust. Put off the former conversation, the old carnal nature. That applies to the words that we speak as well. In verse 25, putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his name, for we are members one of another. Putting away lying. Always speak the truth. Our speech should always be mature. And verse 29, that no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace and peace. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
What?
I want the man who used a lot of slur words in the room years. You know, I'm ashamed to say it's amazing how that word helped me. And with that, day after day, week after week, you hear those words. It's amazing how quickly they come to your mind. The words we speak have an effect on those around us. There's times, I think of youth, times there's jokes that get spoken out and laughed at. Times are not always clean. But careful, stand up, take a stand. Don't speak to the spirit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Is that which is holy? That which is edifying, upbuilding, that may minister grace. Verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God lets me to. Let evil anger. Now it's so easy to get caught up in God's times. Speaking about those people, they hear about this person. They hear about that person, what they did, or what she did. Let all that go away. Kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, rule your speech. Guide your speech. Fifth point. And I'd like to point out about these sevenfold words. Now, this passage is acceptable words are words that will line up with our Christian law. Acceptable words are words that line up with our Christian law. Last point, the last chapter I'd like to look at is James chapter 2. James talks very strongly about speech. Not in a negative way, but it can really speak to our hearts. That was so terrible. About the words that we said and what they can do. James 3, starting at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greatest commandment. Don't have to them. Tell others what we do. Don't rashly or arrogantly reprove others. Let love rule in your words. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle within God. If we can control our tongue, we can control our whole being. The tongue is the hardest thing to control, is what it's saying. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And also he compares our tongue to a ship that, though it's so huge and great, and driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about a very small hand. Wherever the governor or the captain or pilot wants to go. Even so, the tongue is a little man, and most of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. And the fire of the full body set on fire the course of nature to him. And it is set on fire himself. I believe the junior class this morning, the memory verse was Proverbs 15:1. The soft answer, turn up the light for you. Grievous words stir a man. Verbal systems, the words that would speak can be very destructive. I had to think of a fire among the affairs to hear about and all the family. I don't know how many acres it's covered already, but the destructive nature of all setting of that Incredible. And the smoke reaching the whole way down. I don't think this is completely accurate for London, possibly Georgia, Atlanta. The effects of the fire is far-reaching. But I have to think, you know, a fire can also be very useful. For those of us who use the wood stove, we have fire burners.
The barn's heat happen.
Most of us got in our vehicles and drove to this joint. Started your car and our engine fired up. And provided power to bring you here. That is fire in Washington, that makes the engine turn. Driving car and inviting power to drive. Fire is very useful, but it's also very instructive. And that's how we want it. We can do a lot of good. And warning the sinner from the fires of hell when they're coming. But we can also be a stumbling block, the will resistance. Let's continue reading in 7 rules. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly children. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and there live cursed men, which are nothing is made up in similitude of them. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vine and figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meanness and good. But if he have bitter envy and strength in your heart, worry not, and lie not against the people. This wisdom is sending not from above, but is heartfully sensual there in your hand. But where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partialities, and without hypocrisy. Fruit of his righteousness, the sun is peace of that in covenant and intimacy. The sixth point I'd like to consider of acceptable words to God. Acceptable words are genuine and from a heart that is pure. Acceptable words are genuine words that we mean and from the heart that we need it out. No envy, no pride, no selfish motives, no bitterness, no partiality, no hypocrisy. From the heart that we need it out. Those words are acceptable to you. Please leave that challenge with you this week as we go forward with you like. Let the words of my memory, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in my soul. The Lord, my strength, will you. Thank you.